Light medicine and photobiology are here, though little known. The facts keep rolling in, and Dr. Alexander Wunsch is one who is leading the way down this path. Today, we continue and conclude our talk with Alexander. The sun and the spectrum of the rainbow are amazing, and I might add, more than meets the eye. This is Robin with Tributaries. The flicker effect in car lights seems to be getting worse.
Yeah, the backlights of cars in the meantime are using LEDs, and the LEDs are dimmed by pulse width modulation, so they are massively flickering in frequencies. Some of us can see or can detect, and others don't care, or they are not focused in a way that they become aware of it. This is, I think, always a problem if there is an impact or if there is an influence from outside and people do not become aware of it. So those who realize that lights are flickering have the chance to avoid the flickering lights. But those who do not detect, for whatever reason, the light flicker, they are helplessly exposed in the worst case, and they have no chance to bring potential symptoms together with the potential reasons for their symptoms. And light flicker is one massive problem of modern LED lighting. But in the meantime, I can state that there is a change going on. I was concerned about flicker since at least 15 years, and no one seemed to listen. But in the meantime, there is, in fact, a change, and there are several companies who became aware of the flicker issue and trying to eliminate this in the light source. But still, you cannot rely on that, because when you go out and buy an LED lamp, maybe it flickers, maybe not. And they don't have to declare it on the package, on the product description. This is a problem, that you have no way to find out all the important aspects about the product you are purchasing.
Alexander, I know that you have been working with color therapy for quite a while, and not only working within the color therapy, but you have technologically made devices. Where would you like to start? I know I've taken up a lot of your time already, but I'd love to hear you talk, maybe give an example of using color therapy and what is the latest with all of that.
I'm working with chromotherapy since almost 25 years. And most intriguing system I know is the spectrochrome method, according to Dinshar Gadiali, because it brings consistency into the color definition issue, into the issue of reproducibility of certain colors. And Dinshar was the first chromotherapist using electrical light sources for their chromotherapy. And this meant he was the first who was able to standardize the quality, the spectral distribution of the colored light he was using, which is a precondition for comparing the results between different therapists, because they all have to rely on the fact or have to know that they are really working with one and the same color quality in order to compare their results. So if I had to choose a method I would be allowed to take with me out in the desert or to a lonely island, whatever, I think I would choose the color filters and a light source, especially in acute cases, injuries, wounds, skin burns. They react really amazingly to the colored light. So colored light is very effective in acute forms of injuries and acute forms of disorders. But in the end, when you learned about the potential acute cases, you are prepared for the application in chronic cases, which is a bit more demanding because you will never bring a chronic disorder into the healthy condition directly. It always goes via the acute form, and patients are not, quite often, not prepared for the disorder becoming acute if they had the disorder for years and years as a chronic disorder. As an example, skin disorders like neurodermatitis or psoriasis, if they are chronic, then you have a dried out condition, dry skin shedding from the affected areas. And if you activate this chronic state, it will turn into the acute state, which appears to be challenging and demanding for the patient because they only know how to conceal or to cover chronic state in ways of suppressing it using corticoids. So what they normally do not expect is an aggravation. In holistic medicine, this is a normal pathway, but patients trust more into this process when they already experience the efficacy in acute cases, because when you treat a thermal skin burn and it heals up within 10 days or so, which would never happen with the standard treatment, then they are much more confident in case of chronic disorders where you have to go this way around in terms of making the thing acute before you can bring it to the healing.
Yes, this is such an important point, I think, with all of healing, as you know, of course. And it's kind of funny when you were talking about it, because it's the kind of the hidden treatment that most people go for. And then it brings us right back to the very beginning where color, the word in English, is the hidden. So it's kind of the same.
If you use the color correctly, it will help you to discover the causes, the reasons. It will help you to remove the layers which are between the disorder and the healing process.
Yes. What would it actually look like if someone came to you with a bad wound or burn? Is there a piece of equipment that they would set their leg, say it was their leg under, or...
The Dinsha Health Society sells cheap projector construction plans for, I think, $2 or $3. You can purchase these plans with suggestions for rolling your own chromotherapeutic unit. I follow a similar path in a way that I built my own projectors since almost 25 years now, which follow my ideas of high-quality light. And so I use exactly the recommended gel filters, which are recommended by the Dinsha Health Society, but then I combine this with the DC-driven halogen lamps I already described for channel lighting purposes. So my idea is to use a modulation-free, electrosmog-free, clean, full-spectrum light from incandescent lamps, combine this light with the recommended filter types. Oh. And so I have the perfect spectrochrome light. And you can, for example, one project is I bought some of the angle head flashlights from the U.S. military, because the old ones are operated with incandescent lamps and large batteries. And I have filter sets, which each filter carries a specific number, and there's a small table where you can read, or a chart where you can read how to combine the different filters in order to achieve the specific spectrochrome color. And these Anglehead flashlights in olive green, they are really military, but they are already made for putting some filters for signaling purposes onto the light source. And the cap of the battery case provides space for storing these filters. And this is a very neat little device to carry with you, for example, when you're traveling. And you can place it upright standing with the angle head. You have the perfect distribution of the light. You can use it on your body for smaller areas. And the handle and the angle provides a very comfortable treatment. And this is, for example, one of the devices I provide for my patients, for customers who are not handymen or women, so they are not able to build things on their own. So I provide these devices in order to enable them to benefit from the spectrochrome idea.
Wonderful. So since you were talking about a wound and a burn, what color of light would you use on a... Is it the same color for a wound or a burn, or...
In the Dinshar system, we have two groups of colors, which are the spectral colors and the extra spectral colors. And when we talk about the extra spectral colors, this is just bringing the ends of the spectrum together. But talking about the spectral colors, we can look at the rainbow. And in the rainbow, right in the middle, the balanced color is green. And according to Dinshar, the warm colors are so-called infra-green, and the cooling colors are so-called ultra-green, similar to the ultraviolet and infrared. So green is the color of physical health. When you ask how to treat a skin burn, a thermal skin burn, not caused by sunlight, by ultraviolet, but caused by thermal, by infrared radiation. So what would you think? Is there, after experiencing this skin burn, is there too much red or too much ultraviolet in the tissue?
Too much red, yeah?
Too much red, exactly. And so if we have an infra-green impact, which caused the problem, then we automatically switch to the ultra-green color in order to treat this.
Yes.
Compensate for the excessive infra-green, we use ultra-green for treatment. And when we just go one step into the ultra-green direction, then we have the color turquoise. The second step would be blue. The third step would be indigo. And the fourth step would be violet. So violet is the strongest ultra-green, and the turquoise is the weakest ultra-green color.
Mm.
And in case of an acute skin burn, I would use the indigo or the violet. As the healing proceeds, I slowly and step by step go into the green direction, which means after the acute inflammation and the blistering has been taken care of, I would switch from violet or indigo to blue or turquoise. And as the healing goes on, I would use green and afterwards probably lemon and orange. Orange in order to keep the tissue soft and smooth and to prevent the excessive scarring. So it's a procedure which resembles several different colors in a certain sequence, always looking at the actual symptoms and then choosing the optimal color in order to fight these symptoms specifically.
This is such fascinating information. I thank you so much for becoming such an experienced expert on the subject.
Yeah, I had almost a quarter of a century to collect all this experience. And my kids were raised using the colors. And it's, for example, there is an injury, your kid is crying, and you just put out the indigo color and show it to your child. And there is a sudden shift of awareness away from the hurting knee to this fascinating indigo blue light. And you are able to instantly do something which also makes a lot of sense on the photobiological level, but you are acting in a visible way if you compare it to biochemical interventions, for example. So yes. It's also a procedure which catches the attention of the treatee. And so it's also kind of ritual, if you understand what I...
Yes, I do.
It's a visible handy caring thing. Something happens and you can follow the procedure in a much easier way compared to the hidden processes which are playing the main role under the biochemical approach.
Yes. You know, Alexander, if I could ask you, what do you think about all of these grow warehouses? I mean, of course, in Colorado, now that marijuana is legal, there are all these grow houses. But I'm talking about warehouses that are using artificial lights to grow food. And have you heard much about this, or do you know, does it scare you to hear about it, or do you think the food would be nutritious?
This is an interesting question. Maybe you have heard of the biophotons and the biophoton research, which is also in use for controlling the or assessing the quality of nutritional compounds. I purchased something it was a Kickstarter project, and it was about 2.5 years ago, and I had to wait almost 2 years until the gadget finally had been delivered. And this is a SCIO, S-C-I-O sensor, which is in fact a near-infrared spectrometer. And it comes together with an app. And there is an app for tomatoes. And I just put this SCIO sensor on a tomato and do a scan. And the app tells me if this tomato is a tasty one or not. So it's a bit like Star Trek.
Yes.
But in the meantime, it's a little matchbox-sized device, which is able to distinguish the non-tasteful tomatoes from the tasty ones by scanning some of the compounds responsible for the taste.
I think it could be
like magic.
Yeah, I wonder if dating services are providing them for... Have you ever held it up to yourself?
You can measure the body fat, for example, in a beta version of the app. What I wanted to explain with this example, there are certain compounds, for example, responsible for taste, and it's not just fantasy. You can measure them. You can objectively measure these compounds. And so there is a difference between the taste of a tomato which is grown in your garden and which had been grown in a greenhouse. For example, just in greenhouse conditions, sometimes they even don't care of the circadian rhythms. They don't care of the composition of the nutritional solutions they are using. They don't care of gravity because they grow the tomatoes in giant tubes which are constantly rotating, which is completely unnatural. And what I think that we already have our built-in senses to distinguish the qualities in food. And if you ever had, for example, I don't know if you know the difference between bread in Europe and in North America, the bread you can buy. Some of the industrially produced or processed nutrients compared to those ones who are grown in nature. And I think that we can discriminate this with our senses, but in the meantime, we also can do some objective measurements demonstrating that, in fact, there are differences resulting from the different ways of processing or producing our food.
Yes.
So, yeah, light is, there is a difference between the spectral distribution of sunlight and the grow lights, which concentrate on the action spectra. And again, we are in this realm of humans convinced that they are able to make an extract to find out the spectral range, which is optimal for growth, for the certain phases in the growth process. And the idea to concentrate things and to optimize spectra just by taking a blend of red and blue, for example, in the greenhouse, this goes along with reduction of potentiality in the final product almost all the time, not only in humans and plants and animals, but also in plants.
And I guess in closing, it's not only about the light, it's being out in all climates and what I've heard you call skin tides. And I love that phrase, the skin tides, and acknowledging that the skin does have a momentum and it shifts in season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my picture, it is a child sitting on a swing. And all our organs and also our cells, they exhibit oscillations which can be compared to sitting, what happens to you when you're sitting on a swing. You experience the amplitudes in one and the other direction. And freely oscillating means the full quality of life. And if you constrict the oscillators and if you restrict them in a way that they stop oscillating freely, sooner or later leads into disorder, into an imbalance. And you even can feel the positive effects when you are sitting on a swing, going forwards and backwards and oscillating freely. And this is what we should offer to our organism, to our organs, and also to ourselves, to oscillate in a meaningful way, in the way of being synchronized to environmental stimuli, which invite us to go into coherence and to swing in a meaningful way, to oscillate in a meaningful way. And this is what the skin can do. This is what our liver, what our brain, all the different parts in our body are able to. And the best oscillation is there is a conductor which synchronizes all the different oscillations in a way that in the end the result sounds like a philharmonic concert.
Yes.
And here the natural stimuli and mainly the sunlight is the master conductor.
I love that. Well, Alexander, I can't thank you enough. And wow, it's just such a pleasure to speak with you and to be able to share all of this wonderful information. And do you have a favorite website of, not a favorite, but I know you have a few websites. Is there one in particular I should give everyone, or I can just put all of them on my web link when I put your show up?
I think the most important website is my Vimeo account, where you can have free access to a good number of presentations,
yes,
audio-visual presentations. And there is the Spectrochrome website, which is also available in English language, giving some basic idea to what colors can do, and also present spectrochrome color glasses as an example. And the Photon blog, which is a bilingual blog, but at the moment it's not intensely hosted by me, so there are only some, from time to time, there are some minor activities on that. So I think the Vimeo account and the Spectrochrome website are the important ones.
Okay. And then could I just ask you, I didn't quite understand the word when you were saying about the company that you could get the projector from and the filters.
It was the Dinsha Health Society. Dinsha, D-I-N-S-H-A-H, Dinsha.
Okay.
Health Society. And I think the website is dinshahealth.org.
Okay.
But you cannot purchase filters and you cannot purchase projectors from them because the legal restrictions still apply. So the Dinsha Health Society is only allowed to disseminate the information. So you can purchase plans to roll your own projector.
Okay.
And you can get the Let There Be Light, which is the textbook for the spectrochrome method, and you can get the actual filter recommendations so that you know which filters from Lee or Roscoe to purchase.
Okay.
And how to combine them in order to get the precise spectrochrome color use.
Okay, cool.
This is the access to the software.
Gotcha.
Anything else you have to find out on your own or to do on your own.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you. And thank you so much for letting me. I started feeling selfish because you've been so generous with your time. So thank you. Thank you.
You're so welcome. And thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to talk about these issues. Thank you, Robin.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I love this work, and many thanks to Dr. Alexander Wunsch. For any guest information, to listen to archives, share resources, or sign up for weekly programming, it's tributariesradio.wordpress.com. Podcasting is on iTunes at Tributaries Radio. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.